As 2013 came to a close, there were several major developments regarding the ongoing public controversy and challenge to National Security Agency Dragnet surveillance of communications here in the U.S. and abroad. U.S. District Judge Richard J. Leon, an appointee of former President George W. Bush, made a surprising preliminary ruling in a lawsuit brought against the NSA by conservative legal activist Larry Klayman. In his December 16th decision, Judge Leon said that the NSA's massive collection of phone call logs, or metadata, is likely a violation of privacy rights and unconstitutional. He went on to describe the NSA's technology as almost Orwellian. That decision was followed on December 29th by a ruling in another case where federal court Judge William H. Pauley III found that NSA blanket collection of phone data is lawful, setting up a future showdown at the U.S. Supreme Court. Earlier, a panel of five intelligence and legal experts, appointed by President Obama to assess the need for reform of NSA surveillance programs, released their recommendations on December 18th. Their list of 46 recommendations included a strong argument in favor of restructuring the NSA program that collects metadata on all American phone calls. The panel advised the president to have the data stored by telecommunication companies and require a court order each time intelligence agencies want to access individual call records. President Obama, in a December 20th end-of-year news conference, said he was open to many of the panel's recommendations, but rejected one that advised the president to separate the NSA and Pentagon's United States Cyber Command. Your reporter spoke with Shahid Buttar, executive director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, who examines recent developments and growing momentum of the movement challenging Dragnet NSA surveillance programs.
It is a big deal. Anytime a federal judge issues a ruling on a program's constitutionality, it's a big deal, especially when the judge was appointed by the president, made infamous by the creation of this program that at the time was clearly illegal. The two reasons I'd say that the ruling is less significant than people might think are, first, that it will certainly go up on appeal, and he's already stayed his ruling pending appeal, which is to say it doesn't actually have any force at the moment, but it does begin a process that will take some number of years to conclude. So it'll be very curious to see where the case leads, but the judge's ruling in and of itself does not at all spell the end of the story. There is a lot more room for this saga to run. So you can also see the likelihood of different rulings emerge in different circuits as we work our way up to the Supreme Court, where, I should just say, the picture is quite grim. It is not likely that we the people will be able to sue our way out of this problem, only because the Supreme Court, as it is currently composed, is extraordinarily deferential to executive power. And all appeals eventually lead there, and as long as that is the Rome to which the roads are leading, we will need to find other ways to get to the alternative policy paradigm where the NSA is no longer tapping en masse the communications of innocent Americans.
President Obama appointed a panel of people to review the NSA surveillance program and to make recommendations for reform. That panel actually released 46 recommendations this past week. Maybe you can speak to what exactly they recommended, how surprised we were, some of us, about what those recommendations were, and the likelihood that some of those recommendations might be adopted.
Absolutely. It was a very surprising set of recommendations, particularly in that they were relatively aggressive. The panel recommended, for instance, that the NSA end the practice of bulk collection of telephony metadata. That is massive, and in fact, it's the center point of the strongest bills, with one exception on the Hill, to restrain the NSA dragnet, that the president's own review panel was willing to endorse. So, and I don't want to call it radical by any means, because it's simply constitutional, but certainly a dramatic reform. You know, this would basically cut off at the knees some of the NSA's worst abuses. It was striking that the panel was willing to go that far. The panel also, very much to its credit, reached beyond the NSA to also examine FBI abuses. And among the other recommendations that the panel issued was one to end the use of national security letters. Those are basically administrative subpoenas never reviewed by a judge that not only demand information often about third parties, but also gag the recipient and force them not to disclose the fact of the request or demand, let's say, to anyone, including a reporter or perhaps a legislator or even counsel. And so there's a tremendous problem with NSLs beyond the NSA, and it was very much to the panel's credit that it addressed them. Others among its recommendations included instituting a privacy advocate to make sure that the secret FISA court, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, doesn't just hear from the government when there are applications for surveillance, that it also hears another side. And that's among the more resignatory proposals in the congressional landscape. And so it's good to see the panel endorsing both the meager and the stronger reforms. And I think the real question is whether or not the president will accept them. There's already one of the recommendations he has announced publicly that he will reject, and that was a recommendation to split the NSA from the Pentagon Cyber Command.
One of the most hopeful signs in terms of public opinion that's turned against NSA surveillance is the avenue of congressional legislation. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in Congress and the moves towards reform legislation there that you have some hope could pass muster.
Absolutely. So there are two bills that have emerged at the fore. One, the leading bill, is sponsored by Senator Patrick Leahy from Vermont, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's co-sponsored in the House by Representative Jim Sensenbrenner, a Republican from Wisconsin, former chair of the House Judiciary Committee. They are, to put it short, the principal authors of the Patriot Act. And their bill, the USA Freedom Act, would quite dramatically curtail NSA abuses. Their contention as the authors of the Patriot Act is that they meant to give the government very strong targeted tools that have instead been co-opted by the agencies to enable this broad-based blanket and mass surveillance. And the authors of the Patriot say that's never what they intended. Putting aside the question of what they intended, the fact that so strong a bill is coming from those particular offices gives me a great deal of hope for the opportunities for going forward reforms. The USA Freedom Act is quite likely the leading bill in this arena, in that it has very broad co-sponsorship from hundreds of members of Congress. It should not be controversial to any American, because it does simply restate baseline constitutional values. And as you would expect, the sponsorship of the bill is quite impressively bipartisan. The last thing I'll just say here is that grassroots pressure on these issues is quite critical, because as everyone knows, Congress is profoundly dysfunctional at the moment, and for anything to pass, it will take a great deal of grassroots support.
That was Shahid Buttar, Executive Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Learn more about the growing movement challenging NSA dragnet surveillance of domestic and international communications by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.